Blog Talk Radio.
Action is taking place tonight with Houston Texans Carolina Panthers. I hope y'all enjoying that. At any rate, this is Scott Burke with the Clown Hour, and I'm also the creator of the sports blog called The Clown Times. That's Clown spelled with K. You'll be able to find me on the web at www.theclowntimes.net, and you find me on Facebook. Our Facebook page, I have a little bit of fun at the expense of teams I hate, namely the Dallas Cowboys. But at any rate, just do a search in the upper left-hand corner, search one in the upper left-hand corner of Facebook, and just type in the Clown Times. It's Clown Spelled with K. You'll be in front of me there as well. Well, last week I originally, and I promised I'd talk and go more into the black ball and one Colin Kaepernick, especially given, Ray Lewis's comments, the Ravens owner Steve Bisciotti's comments, as well as the Miami Dolphins bringing Jay Cutler out of retirement, given 10 million reasons to do so. But other things took place this week, namely Josh Rosen, the quarterback of UCLA, making comments about life as a student athlete, particularly as a college football player, and the undefeated, ESPN's undefeated, top 50 black athletes list of all time. But a glaring admission of one Tiger Woods off that list. So we're going to talk about those two as well. Anyway, to help me do that, y'all know I'm used from Sleazy Sports every Tuesday evening on Blog Talk Radio, as well as the creator of the sports blog, BR/HBCU Sports, where you'll learn about all things HBCU sports. This is one and only Dwayne Nash, partner.
Scott, what is going on?
Tell me, bro.
It's been a hectic week this week, training camp is slowly starting to end, preseason's beginning. I was just down in Richmond to go check out my skins in training camp down there. College football camp is starting right now too, and it's that time of year. It's that time of year. It's real hectic right about now.
It is, isn't it? I mean, this is what God called upon the masses and said, let there be football. NFL and college, the best time of the year, the fall season. And you know what's even better? My birthday is in late September. That's right in the middle of the NFL, and well, the beginning slash middle of the NFL and college football season. And it's on Saturday. So guess what I want to do? Watch football at BW3, the somewhere, even in the man cave, makeshift man cave, and be left the hell alone. The perfect birthday present.
There's nothing better. Being also a fall baby myself, when your birthday falls on a Friday, on a Saturday or a Sunday, there's nothing better than just relaxing, watching your team play. Hopefully they win, and just be left alone. Because, last time my birthday was on a Sunday, it wasn't too pretty for my skins. But let's just say the entire restaurant had fun, thanks to me, that day. I tried to be quiet until, a Falcons fan decided he wanted to come at me. So, yeah.
Oh, Lord, a Falcons fan at that. Hey, next time you see that clown, just bring him to hashtag 28-3. Just bring that up to him.
But you know what? It was already bad enough.
They cracked me up.
Oh, yeah. But it was already bad enough because that was the year that they won. They went like 5-1, 6-1, and then ended up losing five straight to get knocked out of the play. Yeah, that year was already bad enough for them. But yeah, 28-3, it was even worse.
That's hashtag. That's my new hashtag. 28-3. When I see a Falcons fan come at me and my boys on social media, that's the new culture hashtag. 28-3.
28-3.
Works every time. I promise you that. Well, anyway, speaking of football, you know what Josh Rosen said earlier? Like maybe it was. I think it was yesterday, actually, when he said that. I'm reading here that said in the interview he did with Bleacher Report, he said that football and school don't go together. Suggested that Alabama would not be as successful if the Crimson Tide were to raise an SAT requirement. That may be some truth to that. He said that with one thing that's been drumming up lots of discussion, he said, quote, among the many things he said, quote, even being dumped alone in school without schedules, being that college football players are perhaps the busiest, by far the busiest athletes on campus. I mean, you have classes, obviously classes. Then you can't have anything going on in the afternoon because that's when you practice. That's when you watch film.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you work out. That's when you train. And you know, the only time you have an athlete has, I think, is the spring to take the classes that he needs to help keep on point. It makes you respect cats like Deshaun Watson, who graduated 3.5 years.
Yeah, exactly.
What he did, you know, to the course load, the schedule, and the discipline it took for him to do that, and have over a 3.0 GPA at that. But I mean, Wilson made some other good points. I mean, you know, saying that it's pretty much like being a football and a player in college. It's quote trying to do both. It's like trying to do two full-time jobs. And there are guys who have no business being in school, but they're here because it's just the path to the NFL. There's no other way, quote.
Exactly.
This is pretty interesting stuff. And, you know, he has so many people coming at him on social media, namely older white people. Jeff Greenberg, who I love from ESPN, he had some pretty arcane comments about, you know, having education, you know, going to complete. Flights to like other college campuses to play folks, have free medical care, best type of life on campus, blah, blah, blah. What really stunned me, though, and I kind of expected it from guys like him because he's old school. He is who he is. No fault of his at all, but that's just his viewpoint. And what stunned me the most, though, is seeing a person like Bonnie Bernstein, who is one of the more respectable journalists in all sports. I mean, she played ball at neck of the woods at the University of Maryland back in the day. And, she played college basketball. And, you know, she pretty much called him a baby. I don't have the quote right in front of me, but I find why you go unleash on folks. But basically, she called him a big baby.
Oh, wow.
Tried to have the schedule that she had. Now, realizing that, and I found that to be ignorant because one thing, not all people's schedules are the same. And I just said that football players have a more rigorous schedule than all student athletes, which really should be athlete student. I was once on a Huff Post Live shindig, and I was one of the panelists along with one Eton Thomas, who tactfully took me to school when it came to test the premise, because my original premise was college athletes should be paid. This was like maybe 4 years ago. And I've seen the light since then, but at the time I'm like, how are they going to clear the budget? Like, you know, I was understanding that most college collegiate light departments are in the red or damn near the red. And Eton told me straight up, hey man, it's not student athlete, it's athlete student. So, you know, you brought them for your athletic abilities, and I brought them for your academic abilities. Don't get it twisted. So basically, you know, while people have beef with what Rosen said, I agree with it. I mean, it's I mean, the fact that they spend so much of their time to the school millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. I mean, it almost seems un-American, if you ask me. But, you know, hey, what's on that? So, what do you think of Mr. Rosen's comments?
Well, first and foremost, it's very American. To create as much revenue as you possibly can with having as little cost to yourself as possible. So that's about as American as you can almost get, without calling it slavery, because, of course, that's not what it is. But first and foremost, just a couple of years ago, Richard Sherman said the exact same thing. And if you take into consideration the fact that Richard Sherman was All-American while attending Stanford, which, of course, is not the easiest institution, one, to get into, and two, probably had a hard time. I'm not saying that, you know, he was having a hard time with his studies, but the amount of time in which he was having to split between football and education and still was an honor student there at Stanford. He said he wouldn't wish for the average student to have his schedule for just one day. Also, I just found it interesting that all of the responses said nothing about his schedule. They just said that he was soft, or they just talked about all of the benefits in which he received outside of playing football. They didn't even talk about the amount of time in which, you know, he had to practice, you know, has to be, has to eat, the little bit of time in which they had to study, the amount of time in which they had to travel and play and all that stuff. I found that interesting that was not addressed. Of course, whenever it comes down to student athletes and the amount of time in which they have to split between their sport and academia, I always lean on my man, the professor over at the University of Maryland, Kevin Blackstone, who says that, no, they're not student athletes. They are employees of the state because that's exactly what they are. Because there's nowhere in the world, and this is me paraphrasing what he said. I've heard him say multiple times. There's no way in the world that your average student can request the amount of time off that most student athletes, especially football players, request off and expect to pass my class. There is no way. And there is no one that they can get a letter from that they can actually make this request. I would almost fail them instantaneously, even if they were to. They said a member of the band who also travels almost as much as a student athlete, they may not practice as much, the schedule may not be as hectic, but you know, they still travel with the team, but there's no way that they can come in with that letter. But a football player can. Basketball player can. And it just happens to be that, you know, they have that ability to do that. They have very little time to even go to class, let alone study for class, be there when exams are given, and have the ability to hopefully pass that class. It's difficult. And like you said, for a student athlete to even do it in 3.5 years, that is remarkable. I don't know how they do it. You know, they're just above and beyond. Not just 3.5, but be an All-American athlete and a National Trophy candidate. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's insane.
And that's the thing.
But you know, if you look at their schedule, I'm sorry to cut you off, Scott, but if you look at their schedule, they're practicing in July, August, games in September, October, November, December if you're good. And then for those that are still in school, you know, you're off January, February, then you've got practices and you got spring practice in March. And then again in April, then you're off for the summer, and then you're right back at it in July.
Right. Now, I was going to say, to your point about the band members, sure, the band members travel a lot, too. Obviously, they're better to follow the teams, the basketball and football teams. But guess what? No one goes to see the band. They come to see the football players and basketball players.
Well, not at PWIs. You know, you talk about HBCUs, so that's another thing, you know. But I digress. You know, that's just the whole, you know, Pandora's box that I like to talk about with that. But you're absolutely right. No one pays. How about this? No one pays to really see the band. How about that?
Right.
They're supposed to pay to come to see athletics, and it's the athletics that generates a lot of the revenue, especially if institutions aren't bringing in grants. A lot of the time, a lot of the money is coming from athletics. And a lot of times, enrollment increases due to the success of athletics. But, he was right for saying what he said. You know, he was completely right for saying what he said. Like I said before, I just find it interesting that no one came at him about his schedule, though. And even worse, if you're a senior or a quote-unquote graduating senior, because you still have that same schedule, but it gets rougher for you come January. Because January, you may have a bowl game, depending upon where you play. Then, a couple of weeks later, you have to get right back on the road and potentially, if you're good enough, play at a bowl game. Play at one of the senior bowl games. Like the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl or the Senior Bowl,
East West Round Bowl,
so you can get looked at by scouts and all that. Then you're called in potentially to the combine or whatever regional combine that you have to deal with in February. Then in March you go out to go see teams and get ready for the draft in April. So that schedule just gets worse, especially when you're trying to graduate. So you're absolutely correct. A lot of these guys focus totally on football. Matter of fact, even outside of academia, a lot of these guys aren't taking the opportunity to even take up not scholarships, but internships, because they're so focused on football that they're taking that time in which the average student is getting an internship to work out some more so they can prep for the season and be better. So, yes, you're right. They're football players that partially get academics or partially go to school.
And here's a quote from Bernie Bernstein. I got it like I found it while you were going off on some folks.
Sorry about that. But, yeah.
Oh, no. It's all the same, my brother. That's why I have you on. If you were like Bueller, I wouldn't have you asking where near the radio. Here's Bernie Bernstein's quote. It says, here's the deal. If you don't think college and college sports mix, you either don't care about your education or you're lazy. I know. I get it. End quote. I found that to be very unusual for Bonnie because I thought that she would be less ignorant than to say something like that. Again, just because she played college ball, and she still looks great, by the way, but just because she played college ball years ago at the University of Maryland, that doesn't mean that she could speak to all things because, again, schedules are just different. College players are busy, yes. They travel a lot, yes. But football players, to me, especially with all the advances in training and everything else, I mean, they got going almost damn near year round if they're not a blue chipper. And they try to hold a scholarship. Because I don't know how many people know this, a scholarship is not a 4-year commitment, it's year to year. If you don't hold to your end of the bargain as a player, they're going to get a scholarship to someone else. It's like an unguaranteed contract.
That's exactly what it is. And that's something else that Black and Stone likes to always point out. That is a year-to-year contract. But I hate to go this way on Bernstein, but let's be real. What she's doing is comparing women's college basketball in the 80s to Division I men's college football now. And the level of competition, the level of exposure, the amount of exposure, the type of exposure, and the pressure to win on that level is completely different. Matter of fact, it's miles apart. Hell, it's miles apart from women's basketball in the 80s to women's basketball now, because the women now, they have the ability to go pro now. So even they have to practice and play a little bit more They have to get involved a little bit more if they're thinking about a career in women's professional basketball. So even that's different in its transcendence since then. So for her to say that, oh, yeah, I did it. But you know what? You're not doing it now. So don't do that.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go. I mean, granted, I mean, there were people coming out there on Twitter, and to her credit, she clapped back. clapped back. Let me just see if I can find one. Okay, this cat who goes by Joe Lewis, when he told her, asked her, quote, "Any idea how much tuition has ballooned since your washed up ass was in college?"
Oh.
And here's Bonnie Bernstein's report. Yeah, he went there. Here's Bonnie Bernstein's report. Quote, "Any idea what a jack wagon you look like when you don't read through a Twitter thread and spout off about a completely different topic?" Laughing out LOL at jack wagon. That's strong. She came strong with that one. Again, I disagree with her original premise, but she came strong with that one. And that's not the only one. She clapped back a lot of guys. So we kind of got to come for her. Disrespectfully. There's one thing to disagree respectfully. There's another one just to call names and just trash her. I mean, she's a respected sports journalist, guys. I mean, come on. I mean, come on. Just at your age, not your shoe size for a change. But I thought that was pretty funny. Speaking of funny and petty, you checked out the Undefeated's top 50 black athletes of all time, right? And
I saw it, but I didn't get a chance to look at it yet. So I was completely shocked by what you said.
I will be. And they have a feature up on the Undefeated.com, and there are a lot of responses to said list because because it includes one Eldridge Tiger Woods on that list. Michael Wilbon wrote a column for the Undefeated, contributing column for the Undefeated, trashing that list. If any list that does not include Tiger Woods as an all-time great athlete, among all-time great athletes, should be disregarded. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And I wrote a blog rant today saying that, as much as I understand the reasoning behind it, which I'll get into momentarily, which I'm sure you're going to get into as well, of excluding one Tiger Woods, I think it's foolhardy. I can make a case for him to be in the top athlete on that list.
Yeah.
Because he did something that no one thought the sport of golf could ever do. A couple of things. A, big-time athletic apparel company and Nike create a whole new golf line just for Tiger Woods Tiger Woods, on the back of Tiger Woods. All this golf attack. They never got to the golf game before Tiger Woods started dominating. It was just mainly basketball, football, and I think baseball. They didn't touch soccer with a 10-foot pole until Tiger Woods started dominating. And
very true.
And this is what is really huge. His dominance made black men and black boys pick up the golf club and go easily out of a golf course. He did that. No other Jack Nicklaus, or a few others like Chichi Rodriguez, a bunch of other people. They did not do that. Tiger Woods did that because they saw a guy who looked like them, even though he denied he was one of us.
But he still looked like one of us out there.
Still looked like one of us, stepped on golf club and dominated, and that encouraged those other kids to do the same. And to his credit, he did have some programs, I don't know if it was in the inner city or whatever, but that had high enrollment or high participation of kids of color and different golf and various golf camps. So he did that. So and look, I understand why the Undefeated may not have included his name. I mean, after all, like I said earlier, he didn't say he was black. He never said he was black. He said he was Capital Nation.
Yes.
So basically I guess the folks Undefeated, like me and you and not many other people at the time, he said it in the late 90s. Well, go ahead then. Don't go get out of here then. You don't want to be one of us? Well, shit, we don't want you either. And then when he messed up with his wife, that ill-fated evening or Thanksgiving evening years ago, white people were like, we don't want him either.
Exactly.
And when he had his DUI arrest a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, guess what Busty checked?
Black.
You're a brother after all, man. Come on home. Come on home. But even then, I mean, I think the undefeated should allow their pettiness to get into the way of just exactly common sense. You don't have a list of the greatest athletes, let alone greatest black athletes, without Tiger's name on it. So, same on
that. And I completely agree. I completely agree. Just real quick, just off the top of my head, out of the 50, there's a way that you can go ahead and chop that up into 10 different sports, right? So basketball,
right.
Football, baseball, track and field, tennis. Wow, that's five right there. And then you can go ahead and take the other 25 and do miscellaneous with that, I guess. So what? Pro wrestling, if you want to be real hood about it, or just add more from those other categories. But to say that you're going to go ahead and forget about Tiger Woods is this dude was one of the best, actually the best golfer in the world for almost a decade.
That's right.
You're going to forget him? You're going to leave him out? That's crazy. And I want to know who's on this list. I already saw that somebody was upset that Kobe isn't on the list. I kind of found that laughable that they actually thought that Kobe should have been on the list.
He has to be on that list, though. He's not on the
list. Kobe's on the list?
Yes.
Kobe's he's on the list? You know what?
He better be. He better be on that list.
Because I thought I saw a tweet that said any list without Kobe Bryant in the top 50 is hilarious. Like I said, I haven't seen the list yet. But even top 50, I got to see the list before I can go ahead and say, you know what, okay. But yeah, but no Tiger Woods.
I got to look at
I'm already upset with this list.
I got to look at the list now because I assume that the Mamba is on the list. You can't have a list like that without the Mamba on it. Come on.
I'm thinking if he's on that list, he's probably somewhere between 35 and 50. I'm thinking he's pretty low on that list. That's my personal opinion.
I guess they're doing prison the moment type deals. I mean, I know that they use Survey Monkey to put a fantasy poll and list. Maybe they don't. They're thinking about exactly. Maybe they're thinking about Kobe of the last couple of years before he retired. So come on.
Oh wow!
Come on. Come on, use common sense. We use common sense with this list. He has to be on that. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to check it right now. It got me back. I'm going to check that mug right now. I'm here on ESPN.com and defeated. Okay. I'm about to come on in this speed. Paying all this damn money for broadband. Okay, here we go. All right. Okay, hold on for a second. Let's just go here. Okay, they have only numbers 10 through 1. So do they have the damn list anywhere? Do they have at least 30 to 55? Okay, 30 to 50. Okay. Well, I'm probably going to bring this up near the end. So let's see. Except more than this. Let's click here. Okay, I can't believe they use every market. Why would they do such a thing? All right. Alright, so let's just see. Let me just scroll down here. Alright, NSD, stop tripping. Okay. Isaiah Thomas is 49.
Isaiah Thomas is on the list?
Thomas on the list. Earl Campbell's 48. Okay,
okay.
Let's just skip ahead. Okay, hold on. I got the whole list here. Tim Beckham was 50th. Okay. King Griffey Jr. was 37th. Arthur Ashe was just 38th.
Wow.
Roberto Clemente was 40th.
Okay.
Sasha Page was 18th, which is pretty decent, I guess.
Uh-huh.
L.A. was 22nd. I think it should be a little higher than that, but that's just me. Okay, Simone Biles, number 8. I get it.
I was thinking about a gymnastics person, but number 8? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess for what she did at the Olympics, I mean, you can't beat that with a police stick. Let's see. Will Chamberlain,
wow.
26. Do they have at least Bill Russell? Okay, they got Bill Russell at 36.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? Derek Jeter is 47.
Damn.
Let's see. But Ernie Banks is 41. I'm hopping all over the damn place. Bobby Johnson, one of my favorite track and field people, is ranked 31st, so he's ranked ahead of Carl Lewis at 32nd.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Ranked ahead of Lewis. It gets worse. Who's also ranked ahead of Florence Griffith Jordan at 33rd.
Oh, wow.
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 Dude. Usain Bolt, 14th. Okay, I get that. Michael Jordan, ranked number 1. I get that. Jack Robinson, 2nd.
Really?
Muhammad Ali, 3rd. Can't argue with that. Can't argue with those. Serena Williams, 6th. I can't argue with that.
Mm.
Gail Sayers, 20. That's pretty damn high. Over Jim Brown, 30th? Really?
What?
Okay, look. Okay. So, you got Stephen Curry at 28th, LeBron James at 29th, and I don't see Kobe Bryant's name anywhere. I see Shaq's name is on here at 16th. But I can't find Kobe Bryant on here anywhere. I can't find – Herschel Walker's on here at 34th, but no Kobe Bryant. Wow.
Herschel Walker is on there.
Wow. And George, ahead of Bill Russell, ahead of Ken Griffey Jr., ahead of the great Arthur Ashe, but no Kobe Bean Bryant. Wow.
Oh, God.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. I'm not feeling
I'm really going to have to take a look at this list, because this list is number one, very sporadic. And very interesting that Steph Curry made this list. But did he make the top 100 NBA players this from a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I think so.
He did?
I didn't think he was
top 50 on that list. But,
I'm not feeling it. Anyway, it's just simply here, because we're both pissed off. The last topic we're going to talk about is Colin Kaepernick being blackballed. Miami signed Jay Cutler, who they coached out of retirement, but given 10 million reasons to do so. You don't pay a guy $10 million to be a backup. He's going to start.
No.
And I wrote a blog post about why I thought it was I didn't really crush Miami. I didn't crush Miami at all, because Jay Cutler played under Gates, had his best years under Gates when he was with them both in Chicago. And also when I think they worked together in Denver. I think Gates was a quarterback coach in Denver under Mike Shanahan, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. Okay. And so Cutler had his more productive years under any type of tutelage from under Gates. He made a Pro Bowl in Denver under Gates, and he also had one of his more consistent years, efficient years under Gates 2 years ago. He threw for 21 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, threw for over 3,000 yards, 3,500 yards, if I'm not mistaken. Not flashy, but not terrible either. He had a pretty damn good year. And
true.
But, so basically, I understand Gates is thinking. This is a guy in Cutler who knows the system inside and out. All he knows the codes, and all he knows the signals, all he knows the checks and everything else, and ends up with the playbook. That's the easy transition. But to have the coach to do out of retirement, and first of all, if you have to coach any guy out of retirement, give him $10 million, and then he still had to think about it, he doesn't want to play. He doesn't want to play. And look, as much as I think Kaepernick would be an awesome fit in Miami, hell, the owner, Stephen Ross, was one of the few to actually back up Kaepernick's stance and support his stance and support any other player who took the stance, such a stance.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't get past what Kaepernick did when he wore that Castro T-shirt. I can't get past that. And
you know what?
That really – but Miami's – Cuban American community, they weren't going to have that.
No,
you
they weren't.
Had to know that. He had to know that. He had to know that. I mean, it's too bad because he would have been a great fit down there. And again, it was tailor-made for him to succeed. The fans wouldn't seem to care. I mean, that's the demographic of fans down there. If it was just about the protest, all those people of color down there, they wouldn't welcome him. And again, Stephen Ross was one of the few, not the only owner, to publicly support Kaepernick's stance and his cause. But that shirt, man, that Kaepernick shirt, that wasn't going to work in South Florida, and they knew it. So it's too bad because I think Kaepernick would have been a great fit. But it goes to a bigger point, and I'll let you unleash the thing, but it goes to a greater point of owners blackballing Kaepernick because the Miami front office weren't the only ones who wanted him. Baltimore's front office wanted him, and apparently Seattle's and many other teams wanted him, but the owners outside of Stephen Ross, at least publicly, shot that down. But let me let you on this because you had an opinion. You have an opinion that you said was gonna that you promised was gonna be unpopular. There, I saw.
Oh.
So the floor is yours. I'm sitting here with my popcorn. Go ahead.
Well, first and foremost, I'm going to have to start this statement off by saying that the upcoming statements are those of my own and not of the Yard HBCU Sports or of the Cloud Times. Any rebuttal to my comments, please address them to my Twitter handle at Dwayne_Nash, nor the place, please. Because what I'm about to say, I have a strange feeling a lot of people are not going to like this. First and foremost, right?
Yeah.
Do I agree with the stance that Colin Kaepernick took? Yes, I do. Do I agree with those that support him? Yes, I do. But my thing is this. I am not a supporter of this boycott, and let me explain to you why. First and foremost, playing in the NFL is not a right. It is a privilege. Now, let's get this understood, right? There are multiple occasions in any industry where someone is going to end up getting a job who is less qualified than someone else. Is it right? No. But it happens. Just like in this situation. Although I like the list. I love the list. I love seeing that meme every time when it floats around, whichever form in which it comes out. I love that meme. Listing all the QBs that Kaepernick is allegedly better than. And of course, the one that throws out his stats. The stats that are, of course, hilariously skewed, because the one thing that they don't like to talk about is, one, his yards per game average, which is third worst in the league last year. That's something they don't like to talk about. Also, his pass percentage, which is below the league median, as well as his quarterback QBR. But let's not get that misunderstood, because Jay Cutler's QBR is also below the median, but I digress. Also, one of my favorites is, of course, Colin Kaepernick's sack percentage, which is next to last in the league at 9.8, where the league median is 7.1. So everyone likes to throw out there his touchdown to interception ratio, which is fantastic, and that's because he doesn't throw the ball a lot. But even though he doesn't throw the ball a lot, and he doesn't necessarily throw the ball deep a lot, he still has a very low pass percentage. So I get it. I understand why a lot of teams don't want to go ahead and take a chance on Colin Kaepernick for football bases only. And one of the things that they talked about even before the protest is that Colin Kaepernick has had a hard time reading defenses. Don't believe me? Look at that Super Bowl final drive and look at that final drive against the Seattle Seahawks. I understand those are two tough defenses, but look at those two drives and tell me how well he reads defenses. I digress on anything else outside of that. Okay, like I said before, you talk about the other QBs that have been taken ahead of them. Look at it from a football financial sense. We don't know exactly how much money Colin Kaepernick is asking for. He's never come out and said anything, and I actually applaud him for not doing that. But that is something that people are questioning. How much is he really asking for? Is he asking for starter money? Will he be willing to take backup money? Because if he's willing to take backup money and he's not given the opportunity, then yes, I'm upset too. I'm still not going to protest. I'm just not, because once again, a lot of times quality guys have been quote unquote blackballed in this league, but yet nobody wants to protest it. Then you want to go ahead and talk about
Vince Young.
Vince Young. I'm gonna get to that. I'm gonna get to the examples in just a moment. I'm gonna try to make this as quickly as possible. That's fine. Because, you know, they also talk about, you know, he could have been a starter in a lot of organizations. And you're absolutely right. But does it necessarily make football sense, especially from a financial standpoint? Because a lot of those teams in which he could be a starter for, one, aren't that great. Two, really need to spend the money elsewhere outside of just the QB spot. And what's that adage that I hate so much when people say, defense wins championships?
Right.
Even though that's not necessarily the case, and I digress from really getting into that, but you're going to want to spend your money elsewhere other than just the quarterback spot, especially when you just drafted a QB, as the majority of those teams have, and want to try to develop that guy instead of looking to develop a guy that's been in the league for 5 years that probably already has bad habits. So we've talked about the stats. We've talked about the starting situation. We've talked about we haven't even talked about Miami yet. The fact that you've already said that, you know, the relationship with Gates, and there's still people who are upset with that, calling it white privilege.
I'm sorry, I missed that one.
No, the situation with Miami and Gates, there are people saying that that's the biggest example of white privilege because of the fact that Cutler, who quote-unquote doesn't want to play anymore, gets picked up by a coach who had his best years, which led him to getting hired by Miami in the first place.
Right.
Why not bring in that dude? The people do that in any industry anyway. If I'm comfortable with somebody that I've worked with in the past and they do good work, yes, I'm bringing them over here with me because
I
have a relationship with them.
That's why.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree with that move.
But there are people out there that did crush that move, and I found it to be asinine. I would have crushed that move had they actually picked up Tim Tebow or Kyle Orton, who haven't played in the league in a combined 6 years. That's when I would have crushed that move. But this move made a lot of sense, even though a lot of people don't like to think that way. But the main thing is this. The main reason why I'm not boycotting the NFL is because of the fact that you're talking about boycotting it because you feel as though that he's not on a team yet. But you want to boycott without a plan. What is your plan? Why are you boycotting the league? And what do you think boycotting the league is going to do? Are you going to stop boycotting the league if Colin Kaepernick gets a position? Because if that's the case, then what was the point? Are you really just boycotting because you feel as though that he needs to play? What about the people who believe that Robert Griffin needs to play? He's technically being blackballed. He's been worked out and is still not on the roster. What about Brittle Bob? Brittle Bob deserves a job, as I laugh deeply inside, knowing that's not necessarily true. But still, he's still good enough. He's still good enough to start somewhere or be a backup somewhere.
I agree. I mean, here's the thing. I think it's the perception, given the all court size of what the stats that Kaepernick took, the stats he took, which we're both on record agreeing with. I said at the time, I agree with it, I wouldn't have done that because, not that I'm all patriotic or anything, I stand where I'm somewhere. That's what I do since I was a kid. Been doing it since I was a kid. But I'm not really much about it. But at any rate, the fact of the matter is, while I was uncomfortable with how he did it at first, I agreed with the stance. I respect him for that stance. I think that the perception is, though, that while the NFL gives second and sometimes third chances to white beaters, weed smokers, drug users, and a dog killer, and Michael Vick, that they wouldn't give a second chance to a guy. Well, even though he didn't do anything wrong, so why the second chance anyway? But that's not a hit or there. That they're not giving him a shot because of the stance that he took. That's the perception that many fans have, particularly
yes.
fans of African American and Latinos and other members of colors in different backgrounds and whatnot, because of the stance that Kaepernick took. And that's not a good one. Sometimes perception isn't the reality.
And that's what I was going to close with. Because, you know, you talk about players being blackballed. We can talk about T.O., who I feel as though was wrongfully blackballed.
Yeah,
you can talk about Vince Young, who has been blackballed. Tavares Jackson, who I think is a great backup that can still be in the league. But who am I? Maybe I'm just rooting for him because he's an HBCU guy. But like you just said, it's like we're picking and choosing which things we're going to choose or stand on, even though there are other players that have committed crimes that also affect the black community, but yet we didn't want to boycott because those guys got opportunities. They got a chance to continue to play. And I feel as though that maybe they should have been addressed a little bit harsher than what they were. First and foremost, I completely forgot about it. And thank you, Shannon Sharp, for bringing this up. Dante Stallworth.
Yeah.
Drinking and driving killed two people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Got a second opportunity. No one decided they wanted to protest that. But you know what? Even better, as Bushotti didn't ask the fan base whether or not we should bring him in. He just did it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So if it is about the protest, then shame on the owners. But if it's football-wise, and there are many examples why it could be football decision, then I'm not mad, and I'm not going to protest. But I haven't seen a case yet where it doesn't make football sense for me if I was an owner, with the exception maybe of one or two teams, one being Denver and two being Houston, even though Houston did make a pick for your boy out of Clemson, where I think football sense, it would make sense to bring him in, even though I still believe Pittsburgh is another spot where he can go be a backup, especially behind Ben Roethlisberger. Once again, another situation where no one decided they wanted to protest. He raped a young woman in the bathroom, allegedly, and still got an opportunity to play in the league, but nobody said anything about that. But I still feel as though that Colin Kaepernick, if brought back into the league, Pittsburgh would be a perfect fit for him because he is a veteran quarterback. He plays in that style. And it's a team that can handle that type of stress
and the coach too.
In terms of pressure from the media, and the fan base will still support him. But like I said before, if it's football-based decisions, I'm not mad. But when it's starting to show that it's not football, even though most of those cases are few and far between, that's when I get upset. But everybody, it's not all about the stance that he took. He's just not as great as everybody thinks that he is. When someone asks me on your page, nonetheless, who's better between Colin Kaepernick and Jay Cutler, and my response was, in that system, Jay Cutler, he almost got upset with me. Yes, he's better.
Yeah, I remember.
He's better in that system. But,
I
digress.
I didn't come in.
You know, I just thought that the Miami thing, people jumping on Miami for that. And also, even jumping on Baltimore at that stage. Because in the beginning stages, they didn't know exactly how long Flacco was going to be out for. It was said a couple of months. Then they said a couple of weeks. Then they said a couple of days. And if it's a couple of days or maybe even a couple of weeks, I'm not bringing Kaepernick into that situation. I just need a camp arm. I just need somebody that's going to throw for a couple of days.
Right.
So, yes, I'm going to bring in a guy that hasn't started anywhere. I just need somebody to throw the ball. And no disrespect to him, my man Simi, the former quarterback over at A&T, this would be a camp arm over Kaepernick in that situation. I just need somebody to throw the ball. But I need people to go ahead and start thinking and understand that sometimes it's not all one thing or all the other. Sometimes it's part. And if you're asking me, it's 40% protest, it's 40% play, and it's 10% money. but 20% money, because we have no idea exactly how much money he's asking for to play in the league right now.
That is true. That's very true. That's very true. I mean, here's the deal, though. I mean, again, I agree with what all you said. I agree. And, but first of all, that's the best comeback I've seen and heard, rather, for the case against Kaepernick coming back, because he's being brought into different situations. His yards per game, yards per attempt, completion percentage. People talk about, and I've been guilty of this, just talk about 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. You know, I've touched on that, and I defended this. His team went 2-14. I contended that his team just plowed sucked around him. I mean, he had no weapons offensively. He had to do a lot of things on his own. But yeah, that report, what you said about yards, yards per game, that was in his completion percentage, his QBR rating, his yards per attempt. That's the best comeback I've heard as a case against Kaepernick being brought into certain situations. That's the best comeback I've heard. But having said that, I still think there are at least a couple of teams outside of Denver and Houston who could use Kaepernick's services, namely the Jacksonville Jaguars, namely the New York Jets. Those two guys have stiff, tomato cans throwing the ball. Hell, even I can complete the pass better than they can. And I'm 43 years old. Watch up. Probably 44.
You know what, Scott?
Yeah.
I think those teams have a plan. I think, especially with the Jets, I really believe that they're tanking on purpose. but I don't know if they want to spend money to tank. I think they want to just go ahead and do what they do with who they got. And take that way and then go ahead and start to rebuild the team. I don't know if they want to go ahead, tank, and have that pressure of having Colin Kaepernick there. But I agree with you. There's several teams. Chicago is one, but you know they've already made that investment in Mike Glennon. You know, Jacksonville is one of those teams. There are about seven teams that could use his services. But like I said, the majority of them have already made draft picks to get young QBs and bring them up within their system. And I don't think that the addition of Kaepernick, with the exception of to Denver or Houston, will make those other teams playoff contenders. That's why I'm like, why even spend that money? Just go ahead, bring in your scrubs, be bad, get your draft picks, get your money up. And whatever happens, happens. But, yeah, it's just insane. But yeah, another point with the yards per game, and I'll end it.
Yeah.
Kaepernick's best yards per game is still less than Jay Cutler's worst yards per game throughout his entire career in a season. So you pick any season you want for Colin Kaepernick. His best yards per game throughout the season is still worse than Jay Cutler's worst yards per game. So if you're looking for somebody to get you a lot of passing yards, that's why you take Jay Cutler, even though he doesn't take care of the ball better than Colin Kaepernick. That's the one thing that Cap does well. He does take care of the he doesn't throw a lot of interceptions. He just doesn't complete a lot of passes. Now, that could either be because he doesn't, once again, see defense as well, or the receiving core that he plays with is bad, which is also true. So you can chalk it up to both.
Wow. That's the best comeback I heard. Jason Whitlock last year will be proud, but at least he didn't bring it up from that angle, of course. He brought up from other silly angles. So you should educate him as well, and many others too. So.
Hey, you know what? I'll send him the link. I'll send them the link so they can listen to it, because I'm telling you, it ain't all one thing, man. It's more than one thing, but nobody want to talk about it.
There you go. Well said, brother. Well said. And, yeah, it is what it is, so let's keep it moving. Anyway, thanks for joining me, brother. And I'm sure
always.
You probably me for that. I'm prepared. Take a light, man. That's my man, Dwayne Ash. Please check him out on Sleazy Radio every Tuesday night here on Blog Talk Radio, as well as the Yard/HBCU Sports Blog. Wow. that's the best. Again, that's the best we've heard against the idea of Kaepernick playing again. Yards per game. Yards per attempt. QBR. And a lot of stats, folks. Anyway, thank y'all for tuning in to the Clown Hour. This is Scott Burke signing off. Signing out, brother. 06. Good night.